In the words of the great philosopher Mick Jagger, you can't always get what you want, right? And we know that's true, but what's also true is that doesn't stop us from trying, right? See, our lives, and if you're taking notes, here's one of the big things to remember today. You see, our desires, they determine our direction. Now, we don't always get what we want, but our lives generally move in the direction of the things that we think we want. All of us are looking for good outcomes. All of us are looking to feel good. All of us are looking to invest in our lives in things that seem meaningful and good and fulfilling. And does that make sense? And thank God that our desires can change. Because the real question isn't whether or not we're going to be chasing after our desires. The real question isn't whether our desires determine our direction. They do. We're always moving those directions. The real question is, what do you really want the most? What do you desire the most? And for that, I need to tell you a story of a time where my life changed. Now, a few of you have heard this before, but there's a whole bunch of new faces in the church, and so you need to hear just a little bit about where I come from. Because I had a really defining moment in my life the summer that I turned 16 years old. It happened in a seedy bar in the town of Caslow, B.C., about 4 o'clock in the morning, as I was watching the band leader of the band I was part of. He was about 26 years old. I was, 16 at the time. This is my first, big gig. I'd been with this band for about 3 months, and we were the house band at the local nightclub. And when you are an awkward 15, 16-year-old who's not good at, group sports, and really would like girls to notice him and would really like to feel like something significant, this band seemed like an incredible opportunity. And we just finished up the second night at this bar, and it had gone really well. It was everything you would imagine a logging bar to be in the middle of the night. And we'd just gotten back from my very first after party. Okay, this is the first time in my life I'd really seen heavy drinking and drug use, and it was full on rock and roll. Oh, I should point out, my parents are in the front row, but they are not necessarily fully aware of this story. There is a defibrillator in the very back. I'm joking. There is actually a defibrillator in the back. If you see something that looks dramatic, just feel free to come up, and because I want them to stick around for quite a long time longer. Anyway, so I just gotten back from this. This is the first full-on rock and roll party, and we were in the lobby of the hotel, and I was watching Steve, the band leader, relieve himself on the floor of the hotel lobby, and I was trying to move him. He was a part-time teacher at our high school. I was trying to convince him to go and go back and trash his hotel room instead. And it was in that moment, 4 o'clock in the morning, watching Steve pee on the floor, that I had this really profound thought. I don't want this. Because, I looked at Steve, a man that I really had admired. I mean, he was a really good guy, especially a great guy when he was sober. That's how he talked my parents into letting me join the band. All that good stuff. I mean, he was a really great guy. I looked up to him. I admired him. And I looked at him, and I saw my future. And so in that moment, in that dramatic moment, something dislodged in my heart. A desire. And I realized I don't want this anymore. And I'm so grateful for that moment. Because, see, that actually started a journey to ask another question that was much more important, is what do I really want? What really does matter to me? What do I really want my life to be about? And now, I'd been a Christian at that point for about 3 years, but it's like that new Christian thing. You're just trying to figure it out. You're trying to put all the pieces together, and I couldn't even really see how all these values in my life were conflicting at that point until that moment, and realized I've got to live for something different than this. And so over the next couple of years, those are the really defining times. It didn't all click right away. It didn't all come to, all the pieces didn't fit right away. But it was over those next couple of years that I really started taking my faith more seriously and really started to more honestly ask, God, what do you want for my life? So the real question, as we realize that our desires set our direction, is the question, so what do you delight in? What do you really delight in? And that brings us to our passage. See, we're going to be in Psalm 119, and this is a passage that's all about loving God's word, and we're going to see a word that gets associated with God's word that might be just a little bit odd to you. It's right in the center of the passage we're going to look at. Anyways, well, let's just go there. Okay, so we're in Psalm 119, and see if you find this word as surprising as I do. But the reason I wanted to talk about it today is this is the area in my life where right now I think I'm growing the most. So here's Psalm 119, this beautiful psalm about God's word. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. And then we get to our verse of the day. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find, and here's our word of the day, there I find, say it with me, delight. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find, say it with me, delight. Turn my heart away. Turn my heart toward your statutes. And not toward selfish gain. See, every moment I'm turning either toward God or I'm turning toward self. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts in your righteousness. Preserve my life. Go back to verse 35. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Delight. Now, when you think of the Bible, do you think of delight? Often not, right? Like, the Bible is one of those things, like, who would say generally, I think the Bible is a good thing? I think that people should probably read it. I think that people should. Like, it's often in the should category, isn't it? It's kind of like brushing your teeth. Like, it's good to brush your teeth, isn't it? We think it's good to brush your teeth. But who here is like, 2 minutes, oh, let's make it five. Oh, yes. Think, like, it's one of those things that we do, we just sort of move past it. So, what does the psalmist know that oftentimes we don't? I'm just being honest here, that we often don't. Now, maybe some of you, you're already there, you're like, I delight in God's word. I just can't wait to get into it, I can't wait to spend time with it. But some of us, myself included, we often go through seasons, maybe even extended seasons of time, where you just go, now this is something I should do, and I really should get to it, and I'm going to get to it one day. I know I should. I know I should. I know it's good. But you don't really delight in it. See, the psalmist, he looks at it, and it's like he's, like, and you read through the, Psalm 119, the word delight shows up 9 times in this psalm. 9 times. It's like one of the central guiding words in this whole thing. The psalmist, he looks at the psalms, and it's like, this is like the map to a treasure. This is like the password to a vault. This is like the instructions on the plane ticket to your dream vacation. You want to know the details. I mean, you're not going to set this ticket aside. You're going to study it. You're going to know it. You're going to delight in it. What does the psalmist know that often our hearts forget? think it's that the psalmist knows that following Christ, that pursuing God, delighting in God is the greatest reward, the greatest pleasure, the greatest payback we could ever know in life. Do you know that God is really good? I got to put one more verse up on the screen before we go back to 119. This is from Psalm 16, verse 11. Can we put that up there? You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal, what's that word? Pleasures at your right hand. The God of the universe is the same one who invented like color, flavor, music, pleasure, sex. He invented all this stuff for good. And in some cases, it doesn't even make sense why it's so good. It just is good. I mean, if that isn't like the fingerprint of God on creation, I don't know what is. So I want to take you in just a little mental exercise. Now, I know a number of your connection groups are, right now you're studying the book of Revelation. Who's in one of those groups? Okay, so a good dozen or so hands. Now, there's a whole lot of questions in Revelation that we're maybe not going to be all 100% clear on. But there's an image throughout that I believe God gave the Apostle John so it could be passed down to us. There's this vision of heaven throughout the book of Revelation. Because God wants you to know what you're heading toward. So would you just imagine with me, you can close your eyes if you like, or some of you, you're like, I'm not going to do nothing the pastor asked me to do today. That's fine. But just imagine at least with me. But you can close your eyes if you want. So imagine the throne room of God. And think of some of the imagery that you've heard from Revelation and other places about what that will be like. A sea of crystal, gold, fine jewels everywhere. It's as if the colors are so vivid you don't even have words to describe it. You hear music in ways that you've never heard it before. It's as if everything that you ever experienced here, the colors, the sounds, the smells, the tastes, were just muted versions of what you now experience. You are in the midst of this gigantic throne room. People everywhere, and at the very center is Jesus on the throne. Voices all around crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." It is the most overwhelming, inspiring, incredible moment of your life. And because we are in eternity, even though there are countless multitudes in this same throne room, each one has their moment before the King on his throne. Each one has their moment before Jesus. And soon enough, it's your turn. And there in the midst of this incredible, unbelievably spectacular throne room, you stand before Jesus. And you know that he's the one that gave his life for you. You know that he's the one who died on the cross and rose again from the dead for you, and you're just overcome with gratitude. And you look the eyes of Jesus, this one who loves you so very, very much, and you see his love in all of its fullness and all of its majesty in the moment. In that moment, What do you want Jesus to say to you? And many of you know exactly what you want to hear, don't you? What are those two words that your heart just longs to hear? What are they? Well done. Well done. As you look to the left and you look to the right, who else do you want to see there in that throne room, standing before the one who loves you so much, in this incredible place of beauty and pleasure and majesty? What do you long to hear? And who do you long to have there with you? Now, hang on to that moment. And what I'd like you to do is in your mind's eye is I want you to zoom back really slowly from eternity into the present and into the now. And you think of that moment and what you long to hear, this the moment that defines your entire existence. And you pull it all the way back to this morning. And you think, what are the habits that are going to ready me for that moment? What are the practices that are going to ready me for that moment? What's going to mold and shape my heart and my life for that moment? That's what it means to delight in God. That's what it means. As we open up God's word, it's not just about this, like, I mean, at times it can seem like here's this old book of rules and, you know, all these things, but when we view it through the lens of delight, it becomes this living instruction, this living doorway for relationship with our Father, this living vehicle for helping us to connect better with Jesus. It helps us to figure out what our life is really all about. Do you hear me? So, as we look at God's word, there's kind of two questions. Here, let's hit the academic and then we're going to get really practical. Here's what we need to do. We need to choose what to delight in. Because our hearts are funny, aren't they? They're kind of like wild horses. You know, you get all these different things, all these different wants. Are anybody else relate to that? You're like, my emotional life, you're like, I kind of know what I want. But, you know, like, it's uncontrolled sometimes. Your heart's like a wild horse. And you can't always control it, but you can turn it. You can steer it. We can fix our minds on the things that truly last and matter, and it'll guide our hearts in that direction over time. So choose what to delight in, and then secondly, we train our heart to delight in it. Can't control it, but you can steer it. You can train it. We can move in those directions. We can't always get what we want. But our desire, it determines our direction. And thank God, our desires, they can change. So as we look to delight in God's word, here's just two practical things. And these are some things that I've been learning. So this is part of just the ways that I'm growing. And so if you're already way past this, that's great. Just pray for me and go, isn't it good that after 25 years of ministry, he finally figured this out? but maybe if you at times you just struggle with like really getting into God's word, maybe this will help you. Here's the first one. Is you got to figure out how to stop the scroll. Here's what I mean by that. Oh, I put my phone over here. Now, we consume media all the time, don't we? Now, sometimes it's with a remote control. You know, you're just looking for something good to watch. A lot of times, we're doing this, right? We're just, you know, oh, here's your news feed. Interesting, interesting. Social media. Like. Skip that one. Like. Skip that one. You know, we're rats, and this is the cheese. I mean, we are getting socially engineered to, like, respond right away. Even though, I mean, you do know that not everything on the internet is true, correct? But it can feel so good to just, like, react. I'm so powerful. My likes have spread everywhere. But it also trains us. It trains us to because we feel like we're interacting with all this stuff all the time, but our actual mental engagement is really shallow. We're great at reacting, and we are getting worse and worse at really thinking. You hear me? And so one of the challenges as we approach God's word is we've got to stop the scroll. Now, if your approach to the word of God is just to, like, open up YouVersion, like, verse of the day, like, share, move on, that is still 100% better than not doing anything at all. So if that's where you are, awesome. That's good. Keep that up, and let's build on that. Because, you know, have you ever, you know, like in those reading plans, and they're good, in the devotional books, and they are good. See, this is what happens in my corrupt little heart. And so maybe this will help you. Is you're like, okay, I'm going to do this, because I should. And it is good for me. And I am a fast reader, and I am getting faster all the time, and a chapter a day keeps the devil away, and I can rocket me through a chapter in the Bible in about 3 minutes, but if I speed read, it's 2.5. You know, and you can kind of go through, and you're like, I've heard that story, yep. Oh, God wants me to be nice. Oh, newsflash, okay. That's good. Jesus is big. I am small. Be nice. Done. I did it. I had my time in the Word of God. And I know I'm being a little sarcastic. And that's often where we start. But we got to stop the scroll. Here's a heart hack that has helped me recently. This might, again, sound so small, so simple, but this has been enormously helpful for me. Is I set a timer. And so, you know, whatever amount of time you set aside, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you're like, I'm just going to connect with God through his word right now. I'm not going to worry about how much I'm going through. I'm not going to worry about quantity of content or speed of reading. For the next 15 minutes, it's nothing but Jesus. And so if you read the same verse like a dozen times and memorize it, that is awesome. That we go deep. And that actually takes me to the heart hack number two. Stop the scroll. The second one is this, and here's where the candy comes in. Savor the flavor. Now, while I yabber on for a minute about what it means to savor the Word of God, I'm almost done. I want you to do something, okay? Take out the candy. Take out your candy. You already ate yours? That's the thing. Okay. All right. This is what grace looks like. You know, you get a second chance at the piece of candy here. And why don't you walk around and help other people, okay? Here's what I want you to do. Is, I want you to take out your piece of candy, and I want you to put it in your mouth, and no chewing. No crunching the candy for at least a minute. Now, I've tried this several times, and like my Anita and I, we've been married for almost 25 years. She is still working on me on this eating slowly business. You know, I'm the guy who pounds the power bar instead of lunch. My brain is moving on to the next. Anybody else understand what I mean? You're just moving on, and like, but here's the truth I want us to discover. As you're munching on your candy, Almost any food can taste great when we take the time to appreciate it. Other than beets. Almost any food other than beets can taste great. I like kale. I just want you to know that. And if you treat God's word like fast food, it's going to taste a lot like fast food. It's still better than nothing. But as we open up the word of God, and especially if you open up the word of God, I mean, there are some places that are just so nutrition flavor packed, like the Gospels. If you're wondering where to start in the Gospels. When you finish with the Gospels, maybe go to the Epistles, go to the Psalms. But you just spend time in God's Word. No rush. Just savor the flavor. Now, some of you already started chewing, I can hear that. I'm so tempted right now. But doesn't it taste good? And it's just because you took time and you noticed. Direct me in the paths of your commands, for there I find delight. Jesus wants to meet you in the Word of God. He wants you to delight in the Word of God. Would you think just for a moment about what this could mean for you as a next step? So maybe that's to start to set aside some time, however much time you feel like you can, just to set aside some time, just spend it with the Lord every day in His Word. Or if you honestly can't do it every day, several times a week. Let Him meet you. Let Him fill your soul. Savor the flavor. Delight in Him. Maybe for some, that's just to be taking that first step of just getting into the Word at all. And maybe for some this morning, maybe for you, it's like my hotel lobby moment, where maybe you just need to take the very first step of faith and say, God, I think I've been pursuing some of the wrong things in my life. I think I've been delighting in some things that are actually dead ends. And I want to delight in You. And I want to give You an opportunity to do that in a moment. I also like you to imagine what it could be like for us together if Columbia Grove is a place where we just truly delight in God's Word together. I mean, honestly, there as we move forward into the next, 5, 10, 15 years of ministry, as long as I get to be involved and you'll be willing to put up with me and keep me around, there's two things I long for more than anything else. One is that we would be a place where we, together, we just delight in the Word of God. We just open it up together, appreciate it, enjoy it, let it shape us and mold us, that we would be people of the Word, that as we ask the question, like, where is it written, and how goes your walk, it's not some just dead following of rules. It's a living relationship with the author of the universe, the one who gave us this incredible book and invites us to delight in it. Second thing I hope is that we would be a place that's known for building up people, raising up leaders, and encouraging them to go out and do great things, like start nonprofits, go into full-time counseling, pastor churches in Alaska, and lead connection groups, lead worship for the first time, and invest in the next generation of teens, and that we're a place that builds people up. So this morning, as we apply this to our life, think about it. What's it mean for you to delight in Jesus? And just want to invite you, you can crunch now if you need to. But I invite you to bow your head and just spend some time with the Lord. What's He calling you to? What's your next step of growth? How might you train your heart to delight in Him? What do you really want the most? Hang on to that picture of heaven. Orient your heart and your life around Him. What do you want the most? Jesus, I want You. I want You, Jesus. I want You. I want to know You. I want to know the power of Your resurrection life in mine. I delight in You, Jesus. Teach me to walk with You every day. And while our heads are bowed, I do want to give you a chance. If today is the day, this is the day we just realize, okay, I've been pursuing some wrong stuff. And I want to stop pursuing my agenda and want to start pursuing Jesus's. Today's your turnaround day or your recommitment day. Can we just make eye contact for a moment? Okay. Okay. The Holy Spirit's doing something this morning. This is pretty cool. We got like about a dozen more people. That's cool. Okay, so congregation, we're going to pray out loud. We're going to encourage one another because this is a big day. This is a big day for some of our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a big day. So let's pray out loud. And encourage one another. If you're comfortable doing so, maybe even grab the hand of the person next to you. Let's pray. Dear God, would you pray out loud with me? Dear God,
thank you
that you
are so good
that you desire good for us that you have prepared a place for us. That you have sent a Savior for us. That you have sent a Savior for me. Who died on the cross. Who rose from the dead. And invites me to delight in Him. I delight in You, Jesus. Take my life. Use it for Your glory.